This half hour brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It's hot out. Brewers Outlet's the answer to that. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And with that, we bring in the outstanding Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, among many other outlets. Sir, welcome to you. Happy training camp week.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Doing really well and looking forward to camp. Last week was Big Ten Media Day, days. Did you learn anything from that?
To make sure everybody knows this, I was not there, but what I did not really learn anything. No, not anything really earth-shattering. The Abdul Carter thing, I think, the fact that James Franklin confirmed that he was going to play both positions, but I wrote something off after interviewing Abdul immediately after the Blue White game, and he made it sound like he was going to be playing both positions. So that didn't surprise me, but really nothing that comes to my mind right now.
Yeah, no, exactly. I told everybody here was that when they get to the conference media days, to me it's always the commissioner that is to me of the most interest, because during the year he's the one that actually speaks to the media the least. And Rich, I learned more from him. I don't know about you, but I learned more from him because he didn't talk a lot.
Right. No, I mean, the only thing that I think their status quo with the 18 schools, I mean, that is something. I mean, and then we could go on and on about NIL and everything else, but I think that was the big takeaway, that they're not interested, doesn't sound like it, that they're interested in expanding anytime soon.
No, as I said to the people when I was down in Florida, I had two speaking engagements down there. And, of course, with Florida State there, I got asked about it. And they said, I want to see how 18 works first. It's never been done before.
Yeah. Right. That's a great point, Steve. I mean, it's to us, it's a little unwielding because 18 is it's crazy. But that's what it is. That's what it is. So, I think the Big Ten probably feels the same way. Let's see what how we do with 18.
Do you have to do a conference preview?
I will do one, yes. I haven't done it yet. That is, yes.
So now I want to ask you, what's it going to take to be up to speed on Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA as you put that together?
A lot of reading. I mean, I've done some reading, but it's going to take a lot of reading. I saw Oregon and Washington play last year. I did not see UCLA, maybe like bits and pieces. I'm trying to remember if I saw USC. I probably did. I just don't remember right now. So, I mean, it's going to take time. I mean, it is. It's going to take time. And obviously with Penn State playing UCLA, USC, and Washington, you're going to have to come up, get up to speed with it. I know Washington looks like it's starting from scratch with one returning starter. But I think Oregon is rightfully so. Everything that I've read is they're one of the favorites along with Ohio State to get to the Big Ten championship game. Looks like they have the best quarterback in the conference, or at least the most experienced and one who's had the most success in Dillon Gabriel.
When you talk to fans, what do they love about college football today, and where do they have reservations about college football today?
Let's start with the second question. They can't stand NIL and anything regarding that and the transfer portal. I hear that all the time. I can't remember if I was on with you. I spoke at Penn State Hazleton in June, and I got inundated with questions about NIL and the transfer portal, and I said, we could all gnash our teeth, but it's here to stay. What do they like about it? I still think people like, I think they like the Saturdays, you know, going to a game, watching games on television. I think that's still important to a lot of people. I mean, especially when you see the money that's involved now in this sport, I think that's clear that it still remains one of the most popular sports in this country. And I think it's all, you know, the tradition, the crowds, the I hate to sound like, you know, rah-rah, but this college spirit part of it. I think the thing that they don't like is the fact that amateurism is over.
Right. But you, so you spoke in Hazleton, probably way better than the guy they had there last year.
I heard. Yeah, I saw a lot of old friends there and met a lot of new ones. It was a very enjoyable night.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was great. They're great people there. I enjoyed it when I was there last year. You were probably exponentially more informative. So,
I don't know about that.
So now when you look at this team, everybody knows the wide receiver part is, you know, it's the one everybody talks about over and over again. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a need to rehash it here for the 500th time. So pick something else that would be on the list of, okay, if this ends up being better, they'll be good.
Well, I think there's two positions other than wide receiver that come right after it. And to me, it's the offensive line and also the cornerbacks. Because let's start with the offensive line. Drew Shelton is coming off an upper body surgery. We saw what he could do 2 years ago as a freshman. Mm-hmm. I think the Penn State coaching staff has a lot of faith in him being playing left tackle, succeeding Olu Fashanu. But you also have you only have two returning starters, however you want to look at this, J.B. Nelson and Sal Warmly. I think Sal, I talked to Sal in the spring, he feels like he has a lot to prove. He feels like he's in a better place going into this season. He'll be at guard, and J.B. Nelson or Vega Ione will be at left guard. But the center, Nick Dawkins, has not played a lot of football.
Yeah.
He's been on the roster, obviously. He's a terrific team leader, terrific individual. But there's some question marks. We'll see, you know, how he does. And right tackle, as you know, is up in the air, whether that's Nolan Rucci or Anthony Donko or somebody else. So I think there's some, you know, there's some question marks there. There's also depth. So I think that's something to watch early in the season. In the corners, you know, I think there's depth there, but with Cam Miller and Zion Tracy and Elliot Washington, and also A.J. Harris and Jalen Kimber, let's see who emerges. You know, you have two former Southeastern Conference corners in Harris and Kimber. You know, I would expect that they're going to, if they don't start, they're going to play a lot. And so I'm interested and curious in seeing those two positions after the wide receiver position.
And I'll give you one other name, speaking of former SEC corners, is a Davion Collins. That may be a guy that takes a learning.
I forgot about him from Mississippi State.
Oh, no, I did a thing this morning. Rich, I did a thing this morning where I was running down the team or whatever, and they were asking me about the offensive line, and I forgot to mention J.B. Nelson. So it's like when you're doing like 1,000 names.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But you
agree that the quarterback, I'm not saying it's a weakness or a strength or anything like that. I'm just curious to see how it plays out.
Well, I'm curious to see how it plays out as to who gets the playing time. I mean, entire point.
Are they going to rotate 4 or 5 corners? You know, I think obviously with Tom Allen's defense, the 4-2, you know, the safeties are going to play a lot, and I'm interested in seeing how that works. You know, with you have three very, very good safeties, so. But, yeah, the offensive line and the corners, to me, you know, wide receiver first, of course.
Right.
But the most curious I am is to see how Andy Kotelnicki and Tom Allen, how they, as offensive and defensive coordinators, what kind of impact they will have on this team.
Right, no question. And the other part, too, is, speaking of the secondary, I want to see who the fourth safety is. I want to see who emerges as the fourth safety, because King Mac transferred out. Now, who does that open the door to? Is it Lamont Payne, for example? Could it be him? Could it be one of the freshmen? Could they take one of the corners and move them over? I mean, that's what I'm interested to see that one.
Yeah, and I'm interested. You know, the other thing, as I mentioned earlier, is how much does Abdul Carter play at defensive end, and how much does he play at linebacker? Obviously, he's an impact player, and it'll be very interesting. I would even go as far as fascinating to see how he's used by Tom Allen on defense.
Then there's the place kicking part of it.
Yep.
I mean, you feel pretty good, at least I do, about punter Riley Thompson. Was even better in the spring than he was during the season last year. Gabe Wosu kicking off. But then there's place kicker. First of all, Penn State's cornered the market on left-footed kickers between Sahadic and Barker. And then you got Chase Meyer coming in. And what's your viewpoint? I mean, like, not who's in front of where, just your viewpoint on that part of it and settling it as quickly as possible.
Right, I think that's most important, is settling it as quickly as possible. And I don't think it'll be settled in the first week of camp. I think it'll go down to the end, and they'll look at the numbers from camp and from scrimmages and see how they did. I think, you know, Xander Sahadak, who's from the Lehigh Valley, I think, you know, he was a terrific high school kicker. And I think I think Penn State would like to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? Like, I think all things being equal, I think he would end up being the kicker to start the season. You know, Meyer was very, very good at Tulsa. So I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. Obviously, you can't really fool around with kicking, because kicking is such a big part of the game. But, yeah, that'll be interesting to watch.
And the other part is Justin Lustig gives it fresh eyes, because that's the third new coordinator in there.
Right, right. We know that continuity is important, but we also know that coaches move around a lot in college football. You know, to have three new coordinators in 1 year, you know, that's a change. That's definitely a change.
There's also a couple of other changes that are taking place in college football. People that were analysts before now will be allowed to be on-field coaches all the time. The use of iPads, the use of helmet communication, as for some odd reason, college football has decided to try the 21st century just for a couple laughs.
Yeah, right.
What do you think all these changes actually mean to the product we see?
Well, I think it'll help. The product doesn't need to, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, but I think it'll help. I do. I'm interested to see with the new rules, with, you know, you could have unlimited assistant coaches. What happens at Penn State? Like, does Danny O'Brien, does he become the full-time quarterback's coach? I mean, he is in effect, he's the full-time quarterback's coach. But does he lose his GA title? Who else gets named, you know, assistant offensive line coach or assistant defensive line coach or any, you know, like that? That's going to be instead of analysts. So I'll be interested to watch that. If that happens, you know, before, if it's happened, it's already happened. Yeah. But if James Franklin announces that on Saturday at Media Day.
What about Bo Prabula? Everyone knows Drew Aller. You know, he's got 1 year under his belt. How curious, what is your level of curiosity about Bo Prabula and where he fits here?
I think based on what I watched and I can't say I've watched hours upon hours of Kansas film or tape, but I've seen a lot. I think you're going to see the two quarterbacks on the field together at times. That doesn't mean in 20 plays a game or anything like that. No. But I think there's going to be, you know, maybe five or six snaps that both quarterbacks are going to be on the field. And Andy Kotelnicki is very creative. He was very creative at Kansas using two quarterbacks there. So I think Bo Prabhul, as James Franklin said last week, he was a part of the offense last year. He's going to be a big part of the offense this year. In exactly what capacity, we'll find out. But I think Bo Prabhul has value. I still think Drew Aller is the better passing quarterback. I do. But I think Bo Prabhul has value to this particular Penn State team.
What about the schedule? I mean, West Virginia, there's no question, is a really tough opener down there. And from a Penn State point of view, I'm glad it's at noon and not at night. You and I have both had experience seeing that. But what about the schedule and the way it lays out and the fact that Penn State doesn't have that road of going through the Big Ten East any longer?
I think it's a very favorable schedule. I do. And I'm with you. I think there was a lot of relief in your area when it was announced that the West Virginia game would start at noon. I think that's that's a big difference than a night game down there. I think the schedule plays out well. Penn State does not play Oregon, Michigan, or Iowa. That they're three of the top teams that the polls that I have seen or the predictions, three of the top five teams in the Big Ten, and the other two are Ohio State and Penn State. You know, will trips to USC and Wisconsin be challenging? Sure. No question. But I think this is a very good schedule for Penn State, and a very good opportunity to not only make the playoff, but get a home game in the playoff or even a bye. You know, if they're fortunate enough to get into the Big Ten championship game and win that game, I like how the schedule plays out. I know James has made a big deal about traveling to the West Coast for that USC game, but he also maybe forgets to mention that Penn State has a bye week the next week. Yeah. So I like how it plays out. I do. I really do. And I think it's a good opportunity for the Lions to make a run here.
Yeah, the 14 Central and Eastern time zone teams that go to the West Coast to play a game, eight have byes the next week, including Penn State. The other six have home games. So the Big Ten did put some thought into it.
Yeah. I understand why he has some concerns about going into the game, you know, about how to travel and everything like that. I get that. But you also have a bye week after, and you have time to recover. But I think it's exciting. I mean, it's a little overwhelming with 18 teams, you know, on one point. But really, you know, the fact that you're going to play UCLA and Washington, I know UCLA is not what UCLA has been, and that Washington is sort of reloading, rebuilding, however you want to put it. But you're playing them at home. You're playing Ohio State at home. And then you're playing at USC and Wisconsin. I mean, it's still a formidable schedule, but I'm talking about in terms of, as the Big Ten goes, that it's a favorable schedule. And I think it is, and I think it's exciting.
Rich, always a pleasure. We're finally to that time of the year. Thanks so much for your time. Valuable and important.
My pleasure, Steve. I'll see you on Saturday.
And that is Rich Scarcella. Saturday, by the way, will be Media Day. So we got that coming up. This half hour of the show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.